What you're thinking is Luke 15, what does that have to do with the occasion? And I don't always preach according to the occasion. I don't always do that, but sometimes the Lord impresses me to do so and gives me leadership to do so. And I just want to share some things out of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15, concerning the subject of a false freedom. A false freedom. This time of the year and the occasion that we are celebrating, and I do want to say, thank God, it is an occasion to celebrate. This nation, even as maybe sick as she is still the envy of the world. All other nations have people leaving them to come here. That's right. And a lot of people would switch places with you and me this morning from other countries. As maybe sick as America is, she's still the greatest nation on planet Earth this morning. No doubt about it. And I believe that God was involved in the founding of this country. I do. I believe that. I started to preach this morning on that God birthed America and chose some different truths about that. And then I was going to move on and deal secondly with God blessed America. Amen? And then I was going to deal with God is beholding America, watching her as she declines and turns from Him. And then, of course, God is going to blame America. That is, hold us accountable for the light that's been given to us. But I didn't have liberty to preach that this morning. And Luke chapter 15, I want to read the scripture that, or at least part of the scripture that deals with the son that went into the far country. And what was he in search of? He was in search of a false freedom. He was looking for a freedom when in reality he already had it. And I'm afraid that we can find a lot of applications here to our country and the efforts being made today of finding a freedom that is contrary to the freedom that our forefathers handed to us. And Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine. I'd never seen, let me just pause a minute, I'd never seen this scripture in the light that I'm going to preach it this morning. But even as I'm reading it, looking at it from a national perspective, I can see America all in it. The famine, the indebtedness, the losing, the bondage, the degradation, the decline, the detachment, the distance, all I see applicable to our country winding up ultimately broke and in the hog pen of disrespect and disgrace. I think that is the course. I think we could take the prodigal son and the course that he took, and we can line it up side to side, parallel to that course of America. And I believe that we can see that we're leaving the freedoms that were established by our forefathers, as was his father, put in our hands and take it and go the other direction with it. end up losing it all and have nothing to show for it. Amen? I believe that. But anyway, I hope that the Lord will help me to bring that out. But anyway, the Bible said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, verse 13, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. I believe that we're there pretty close to that now in America. I believe there is a famine hitting this country. Amen. And maybe such like as we've not seen in our generation, at least. And he said he began to be in want. And then in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, which was a foreign country to that which he was raised. And I want to tell you, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm going to tell you what I believe we're going to see and are seeing. We're seeing us as a country, as a nation, joining ourselves to other countries. And just like this prodigal had joined himself to a citizen of another country, of that country, and then he became a slave, he became a laborer, he became a worker, a hireling, if you will, for that citizen. I believe that we may possibly see the day where America is nothing more than in slavery to other countries. Somebody's going to have to bail this country out. You can't throw trillions of dollars out like it's monopoly money, and then our future generations, kids, grandkids, and future kids, my friend, not have to reap the repercussions of that. Amen. Amen. But anyway, the Bible says, verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he come to himself, this is where we need to get as a country. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. America is out to get what one day she will wish she never obtained. Amen? But the Bible says here in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. Or in our case, we're going to arise and go back to that true freedom established by our forefathers. We're going to rise and go away from the false or the fake and phony freedom that we might pursue in the life and realm of sin, and go back to the true freedom that's found in the core values and principles set up by our forefathers. He arose, and he said, I will arise and go to my father. I'm going to go back to where I know at one time I enjoyed freedom. Amen. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And do not, could I say this? I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but does not America need to say to our forefathers, we've sinned against you? I mean, we definitely, as a country, sinned against the Father of Heaven, our Heavenly Father. We have the Father of Lights. We've sinned against Him. But I believe that we, as America today, in general, owe our forefathers who bled and died and sacrificed and gave till they had nothing else to give. My friend, we owe them an apology that we have took their freedom given to us, ran as fast as we could into the far country of wickedness and sin, and we blowed it and wasted it and are losing it. Amen. I'm telling you, I may not get it out the way I see it, but I'm telling you there is a parallel between the course of the prodigal and the course of America. Amen. Amen. God help me to preach it. God help me to see it. Amen. I hope you can see it this morning. Well, amen. I can't hardly read the text without stopping and preaching along the way. Amen. Amen. Because I read these verses and I see where I'm going to go, and I can't hardly wait to get there. Amen. Because I may get there and you won't, and that's why I've maybe stopped and give you a little bit on the way. But he said, verse number 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, of course, we go to the elder son at this point. And I'm going to share with you in just a moment what the elder son, I believe, is a very good picture in light of the way that we're dealing with this morning. The Bible says in the scripture, verse 25, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. I'm dealing this morning, as I've stated already, on the subject of a false freedom. And instead of enjoying what we do have, if we're not careful, we will search for thinking, if I had something else, I would be happy. If I was somewhere else, I could be happy. If I was someone else, I could be happy. But happiness, my friend, is not found in you being a different person. Happiness is not found in you being in a different place. Happiness is not found in you, my friend, having different possessions. Happiness is found when you are focusing on the purpose of God for your life, amen, and hold true to the inheritance and the heritage that we have been handed to, amen, been handed down to us. The Father in our text represents our founding fathers who had established that home. He's the one that had paid the price. He was the one that had earned the right of ownership of that home and the land that went with it. He was the one, my friend, that sacrificed that home could be established. Just like our forefathers, they were the ones, my friend, that paid the price for us to be able to have the red, white, and blue flag flying in freedom yet still today. Amen. Now I want to say, God bless America. Praise the Lord. I know I'd never thought I'd live to see the day that where it'd be almost be a criminal act to say, in God we trust and God bless America and one nation under God. But I'm going to tell you, we ought to have the resolve and we ought to have the determination and we ought to have the patriotism as a Christian. Hallelujah. That if they threw every one of us in jail, we're still going to utter from our lips, God bless America, one nation under God. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. We're in the shape we're in because many people are in pursuit of a false freedom. Amen. But that Father represents our forefathers that have paid the price, sacrificed, endured hardships and adversity, worked hard. Worked hard, stayed up late, got up early, so that they could hand to their next generation to follow some freedom, some godly heritage. Thank God for the heritage that we've been given. We're a blessed people. I mean, I can look back in my life and I can see heritage. I can see a godly heritage. I can see a goodly heritage. I can see the hand of God working down through my lineage. Amen. But I want to say the prodigal son in this passage represents that generation that followed, or the generations that followed, that of the father, and progressively over time got worse and worse, further and further away from the home principles that his father had worked so hard to live and establish. When it was handed to him and he got the possessions and he got what was coming to him that his father had worked so hard to have, what did he do with it? He ran away with it, went far with it, and ruined it. Lost it. And it's happening, my friend, right here in the good old USA. Right here it is. It surely is. But the prodigal represents that next generation that comes in behind the fathers that had established this country, to be a Christian nation. That's right. Don't listen for a minute to the liberal media that would suggest that this country did not have Christian roots. They would rewrite our history books, and I still would like to know who gives those people the right to rewrite history. History is history. Whether I like it or don't like it, whether I agree with it or don't agree with it, history is fact. And facts must be recorded if they're historical facts. It is a sorry liberal left-wing heathen, my friend, that'll take a pen and on purpose leave God out of our history books and leave God out of the founding of this great country and do so on purpose to indoctrinate the next generation in a humanistic fashion. Amen. Amen. That makes my blood boil to think about it. And then they'll take in our governmental schools and they'll take those history books that are minus many great truths of history and, my friend, teach them. And now we've got generations on the scene now that are legislators and congressmen and senators and probably a president that don't have a clue about the Christian foundations that are underneath this country. Amen. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right. Now I got a whole lot more to preach, I promise you. If I just read what I got, I'd be here for an hour and a half. I mean, I've got documents, my friend, from from all kinds of famous documents. I've got it here, Gettysburg Address, all that, my friend, and you can't deny it, friend. Our country was founded to be Christian. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. We've been thinking about putting it on the church sign. Of course, it's pretty stout saying, but we've been thinking about putting on the church sign that America was founded a Christian nation. Leave it alone! Or just leave. Amen. I know that'd be a little raw for a church sign, but that is the truth. Don't come. If you want to come over here and get involved and come underneath the guidelines of our country, amen, and abide by our Constitution, come on! Amen. That's right. That's right. But don't come over here and try to change it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord is on our side. Yes, right. Our country is not blessed because of Allah. It's blessed because our country had submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Feel better about it already, don't you? Praise God. In every sense of the word, in light of our text, we're living in a prodigal country. A prodigal country that are taking the things that costed our forefathers, my friend, greatly to give to us that we could have and that we could enjoy and pass it on to our children and to their children. But each generation has lost a little, gave a little, thrown a little away until now there's, listen, very little resemblance to the original America. We're becoming more patterned after the heathen countries around us, amen, with which we are hugging up to and holding hands with, and amen. That's right. That amen. Well, amen, I need to get off that. But the prodigal son represents that. That particular line of thought. And the elder son that stayed at home, guess who he represents? The church. The church. He represents the church. The church doesn't have action problem. The church has got an attitude problem. We look at the country. The country's gone to the dogs. Went to the far country and wasted all that our forefathers have given to us with riotous, wicked, liberal, ungodly living. But here we are, the church. We've never went out there, but our attitude stinks. Amen. I'm not preaching on him today. We'll all be under conviction. Amen. But amen, that elder son had an attitude problem, judgmental and critical. Amen. Couldn't get along with nobody. But he was working in the field and he stayed home. Amen. But in that light, not only was that there's a negative aspect could be said about the elder son, there is a positive thing that could be said about the elder son. He did stay at the house. He did stay close to the father's freedoms that had been given to him. He may have not been perfect, nor is the church. Now, I want to tell you, the church is obligated to stay close to the fathers that have given us our freedoms. We need to stay close. If the church of the Lord Jesus does not stand up as a mighty fortress to stand true for our rights and for our liberties and for our freedoms, then who is? Who is? Amen. You better not depend on Washington to stand up for it. You better not put your confidence in government to do it. Our country, my friend, is becoming more communistic every time they meet and vote on anything. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I'm not trying to get political in this message, but I don't know what preach the pulpit needs to get political. Preach against some of that garbage. Amen. That's right. Amen. But anyway, let's go on. Amen. But the application is Like I've stated, that prodigal left the real freedom in search of a false freedom that he really did think existed out there somewhere. And he thought that that course that he took, that journey that he took to a far country, he thought surely that that far country, that distant habitat from his father's house and the father's freedom would really hold freedom. But instead he found out that it held bondage and it held pain and regret and misery. It surely did. Well, there's a lot that we could say about that. And of course, you know as well as I do that America have left the godly paths that was laid before us. America, my friend, now are operating with principles contrary to those set up by our forefathers. Amen. We have judges now, my friend, that they're not operating under the realm and under the title of a democracy, but rather a judiciary. This country is not a judiciary. The judges, my friend, no time have ever given the judges of our country the right to make laws, but rather to defend them, to defend them and also to interpret them. But now we have judges that have self-assumed the authority, my friend, to sit on a judge's bench and declare that homosexuality is marriage of the same sex is okay. Who give them that right? Amen. That's right. If we had a president worth of salt in his bread, I tell you what he'd do, he'd fire every one of them. Amen. Amen. But a liberal's not going to fire a liberal, so that's the way it is. I'm trying to stay sweet. Y'all pray for me. The first thing I want to deal with, and just I'm just going to hit these and let you go. Amen. Some of you have already had about more than you can handle. But number one, I noticed the parallel, Brother Mark, between the prodigal son and the prodigal nation that we have. Number one, I note there must have been a rebellion against true freedom. Why else did the prodigal leave? Why else did the prodigal take the liberties, the blessings, the freedoms that were given him and go as far away as he could go with it? There's only one explanation. He was a rebel. Are y'all paying attention up here? I'm preaching. Are you listening to me? He was a rebel. The reason, my friend, that he did what he did and took the course that he took and wound up where he wound up, one driving motive, he was a rebel. He did not want to be in a place where there was freedom, freedoms that had boundaries. He didn't want to be in a place that had freedoms but had restrictions. Oh, it's hard not to preach right here on some young people, amen. Boy, how young people today are much like that. And by the way, I thought maybe I was getting off my line of thought right there, but the Lord showed me this country's going in the direction of this generation. You got a rebellious generation, you're going to have a rebellious country. Amen. You have young kids being raised, my friend, and then they've got families and so on that, my friend, listen, are rebels. Guess what? We're going to have a rebellious country, and our country is rebellious against the things of God. Amen. I'm talking about a sorry, no-count criminal, murderer, child molester has more rights than Christians do. Amen. God help us. We need to be alarmed about that. This good old USA, let me tell you something. Here's the mindset of most people. They've got tunnel vision. All they see is just right what's in front of them. As long as everything's good at the house, your address, and on your street, my friend, as long as you've got a job, as long as everything's fine at your house, we don't worry about Washington. Amen. I think that's the way, son. I ain't worried about them as long as it's okay at the house. As long as it's okay in my little world. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we've got people in place, high places that cares nothing about God. I'm telling you, they're political hirelings. All they care about, my friend, is a vote. Amen. And charting this country as fast and far as they can in a godless direction. And you can say amen or not. That's right. There was a rebellion against the true freedoms that were at the homeland. That at the home that the Father had, my friend, worked so hard to establish. Can you imagine how that father felt when he saw the next generation take what cost him so much and treat it so cheaply? Can you imagine how they felt? Many of the forefathers, Brother Chuck, I know they're done gone. I know they're already gone, but if we could bring them back, they would be sick. They would be sick. They would be disappointed. I'd love to hear them speak on the White House steps. Give them a microphone. Put their speeches in the front pages of our newspapers. Put it on CNN, ABC, and CBS. Put it on there. They would testify, "I'm disappointed in you, America. I'm disappointed that you have took what I have worked so hard to give to you. You took it and wasted it." But there is the rebellion against truth and freedom. And I'm going to tell you, there's a rebellion, brother, running through this country, especially in the generations coming up now. My friend, a rebellion against any kind of boundaries. Yes, sir. And all that, listen, I don't want to get sidetracked right here, but I know for a fact, friend, all the things that's been voted on and running through the process right now, same-sex marriage and all that stuff, it's not going to stop there. It's not going to stop there if that were to pass. And by the way, could I just say this? Not one state where the people has been permitted to vote on same-sex marriage as it passed. Not one. When they let the people, and by the way, I thought this nation was established by the people and for the people. I thought it was a democracy. Amen. That's right. There ought to be a voice go to Washington and says, "Let us vote on it. Give us this little spot on CNN. Let me say something. Let me be president for 5 minutes." You know. That'll work back here. I got a good buddy in the house. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're in a mess. Amen. And the underlying drive is rebellion. Amen. Rebellion. They don't want nobody standing up and telling you what's what. Amen. And if all this that's associated and tagged and attached to the hate crimes bill, Brother Brooks, if it goes through, my friend, you're just very likely to have to visit your preacher in jail. In fact, I've probably already said enough this morning to have me thrown in jail. Our country is swiftly getting to the place where there's no wrongs about nothing. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Amen. Our country's calling evil good and good evil. And the very people, my friend, that's keeping this country from falling apart is God's people who are the light of the world. It's keeping the darkness out and the salt of the earth. It's keeping the corruption out, my friend. But we're the ones getting blamed for it. I'll tell you why. There's a rebellion, friend. Listen, being driven through the music of our day. Through the movies of our day. Through the messages and magazines and the media of our day, there is a one thrust message of rebellion against authority. Rebellion. 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 Amen. I don't mean to get sidetracked and run this rabbit, but I'm going to tell you, I can tell a whole lot about you by the music you listen to. And by the way, I just thought I'd just interject this right here. I've been on MySpace, and I have been on Facebook, and I'm ashamed at some of the music that the young people this church listens to. Amen. That's right. I'll preach against it till I pass out. Amen. I don't care if you ever like it. I'm going to preach against it. You are what you listen to. Amen. Amen. You say, but oh no, don't water it down, friend. If it's not helping you spiritually, it's hurting you. Amen. If it's not making you, drawing you and producing Christ-likeness in you, then it's taking Christ-likeness away from you. I'm going to preach against it till I die. Amen. I have been doing so for 28 years. It's never been liked. It's never been approved. I've got all kind of flack over it. But I'll preach against it and continue to do so.
Amen.
You can't listen to garbage and turn out to be a great, great Christian.
Amen.
The world's music is their mold. The world's music, movies, media, all of it, it's nothing more than the hands of a worldly potter forming you into their image. Hey, man. Hear me well. If you can't hear, read my lips. I am not worldly. I'm not interested in being worldly. I hate worldliness. I hate carnality. I'm against it. It's killing our churches. It's killing our homes. It's killing our country. Worldliness. It isn't the church. It isn't the world trying to be like the church. It's the church trying to be like the world. And it's killing us. And God, His manifest presence is nowhere to be found in most churches today. Churches everywhere, Brother Brian, this morning, got a steeple stuck in the air, and they'll have a polar bear in a pulpit and icicles in the pews. And I tell you, they'll go through a little form of godliness. There's no presence of God. There's no power of God. Why? People's only interested in entertainment. Amen. Well, I got to get off of that. Lord, help us, Jesus. Amen. It deserves to be preached on. It does. It really does. Hey man, just do a little study. I tell you what you do. I don't listen to country music. I'm depressed enough. But you that do, and I know you do, but I tell you what you need to do. Write down some key subjects. Write down alcohol on a piece of paper. I'm just giving you some ideas that I've done myself, and I know preachers that have done. Write it down. Write it down. Alcohol, fornication, drugs. Immorality of all kinds. Just write up some stuff like that. And then listen. Turn to any radio station that plays that garbage. Listen to about 10 to 15 songs. And every time you hear one of them subjects referred to, make a check. And you'll find out that the most of things, all they ever sing about is wife swapping and more partners and drinking and no tear in my beer and hey man, who am I going to sleep with tonight and all that bunch of garbage that's hatched out of the bowels of hell. People sitting on our pews listening to that garbage all week, and then we come to church and wonder why the power of God don't fall in our church. To be carnally minded is death, the Bible says. Amen. Well, praise God. I've been waiting a long time for that punch. I didn't know it was coming this morning. But rebellion against true freedom. Number two, I got to hurry. Lord, help us. I'm not going to be able to, I was wanting to give all these documents, stuff, but I'm not going to be able to give it. Amen. You just have to read them yourself. Number two, not only do we see the rebellion against true freedom, but also number two, there is the reach out for false freedom. You can't rebel against one without wanting a replacement. So there was a reach, and I'll just leave it at that and go to my next point. There is a reach, my friend, there was thoughts become actions. Aspirations became actions with him. He was a prodigal. He was a prodigal before he ever left the house. He was a rebel before he ever got in the far country. But what he was on the inside, was made evident on the outside. Let me say this: there was the reach for false freedom. Number three, can I say this? The realm of false freedom. Where is false freedom searched for? Far country. Get away as far away from the forefathers' founding principles and core value. Get us away from it. That's where we'll find it. False freedom. False freedom. Where's it searched for? Far country.
Throw the Bible out. Let's legislate God plumb out of our society. Let's take Him plumb out of our schools. Let's take it, my friend, the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms. Let's, my friend, just do away with prayer. Let's just completely throw God in the ditch. That's a far country philosophy. The realm of the far country, the realm of false freedom for America, my friend, is going to be that far country, getting away from God, getting away from the founding. Listen, getting away from the founding fathers and the freedoms that they worked so hard to give to us. I didn't know I was going to use this morning. I didn't know I was even going to preach on Luke 15. Actually, until after I went home last night. Really, I told you a while ago what I was planning to preach this morning. Are you listening? Amen. Lord, give me this little statement this week. I was just thinking about meditating on the prodigal. Wasn't planning on preaching today. Just, you know, Lord, just give me some stuff. And He gave me this one little statement. And I'm about to use it right now. Talking about the realm of this far country and the rebellion behind it. You know what leaving is? Here's what the Lord gave me. A little statement. You can record it real quick in your mind. Leaving, listen, parents, this work in your home for your children. Leaving is a living issue. They want to leave because they want to live a different lifestyle. Hey, man, that's right. That's right. You're not ready to leave, you're ready to cleave. Amen. And don't go to cleaving just so you can leave, because whatever you cleave to, you may end up leaving.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's better to be at the house and want a mate than to have a mate and wish you was at the house.
Amen.
But the realm of false freedom is found in a far country. He wanted to leave because he wanted to live a different life contrary to that the Father would approve of. Well, preacher, I just want to be on my own, be my own thing. God, don't listen. Hey, come here. Don't even try to sell me that. I talked to a man, and I could give you example after example. This is most recent. I was talking to a man the other day when I was preaching at revival in Union Grove. In fact, he testified about it. I talked to him about it. He testified in the service about it. How he left home wanting to be on his own, be his own man, have his own place. And he said when he left out of that Christian home, Brother Brooks, and got on his own, he said, my life went to the dogs. He said, I started drinking. He said, I started doping and all these other things that goes with that. That unrestrained life. Listen, there may be a few exceptions to that. But generally, the rule is they want to leave because they've got a life in mind that they want to live. And listen, just about guarantee you, this is going to apply. I just about guarantee you the prodigal here in the text knew about the far country long before he ever went. Because he probably had some friends that frequented the far country. He had some, if I could say it this way, he had some far country friends. And here he is with more freedom than he knows what to do with. Envious of them that had nothing. Don't ever be envious of a bum. Don't ever be envious of a deadbeat. You young girls and boys in here, you better listen to this preacher. I could tell you names of young people that used to sit on these pews that didn't listen to this preacher and they're in prison today. You better listen to this preacher. I'm telling you, I ain't trying to run your life, control your life. Amen. But I am trying to preach to you. And if I see directions that are dangerous, I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to expose it. But you need to listen to this preacher this morning. Don't run. Don't run with far country friends.
If they're not helping you spiritually, they're hurting you. If they're not complimenting your Christian life, they're complicating your Christian life. Don't run with them, because you are quickly becoming what they are. You can't choose your friends. You can't choose your future, because your future is being chosen by your friends. Amen? That's right. That needs to be preached, don't it? But the realm of the false freedom. Number four, we talk about the rebellion against true freedom, reach for false freedom, the realm of false freedom. Number four, the ruin of false freedom. He finally got where he wanted to get. But when he got to where he wanted to get, where he went, got all he had. I can't believe I said that. I had to stop and think about that. But the ruin of the false freedom. He thought, man, to be have the forefathers' freedoms of the Bible and the guidelines of the Scriptures and prayer and all of that. Oh, I need to get away from that. And we need to get in a far country. We need to find false freedom. That application I was going to tell you about just a minute, Lord brought it back to my mind. I left that unfinished. I do that often. He probably run with some far country friends that caused him to want to go there. Why do you think America, come on now, why do you think America is taking the journey she's taking today? It's off of the influence of far country countries. That's right. Yes, sir. It don't matter if you like it. That's, and I'll use the word accurately, stinking beetles come over here and ruin our country. Amen. If you like them, they're your heroes, don't tell me about it. Because I'll lose respect to you quick. Amen, that's right. You know what our country did when them bunch of mop heads come over here? You know what all of a sudden started happening? Boys started thinking, man, I need to let my hair grow out. It used to be a shame in this country for a boy to have long hair. Right. Say amen right there.
Amen.
God help us. I'll take a sweet pill before I come back tonight. Amen. God help us. Amen. I'm talking about the ruin. The ruin, brother. We can't continue on the course that we're on now without it ruining us. It's already ruining us. You can't look at our country without seeing decline. Amen. Number five, I got to hurry. Y'all are getting done for me. Number five, not only the ruin of false freedom. Amen. And I do want to make this one statement before I move on to number five. Real freedom's costly, but don't you think for a second false freedom is not also costly. There's testimonies right here in this room on an individual note that pursued false freedoms and it wore you out. Stripped everything away from you that's valuable and worth having. It'll ruin you, buddy. It'll ruin our church. It'll ruin our nation. But anyway, number five, the regret of the false freedom. Do you think the prodigal regretted it? Do you think he regretted that move? You think he regretted that decision that day to take the freedoms that had been given him and run to that far country in search of a false freedom? Sure he did. No doubt he regretted it. When he at one time had a lot and had more than anybody else around, but then he ended up having nothing. And our country is the envy of the world. And I want to tell you, it won't be long. If we keep going like we're going, we'll not be the envy of the world. We'll be owned by the world, other countries of the world. And we're close to that now. But there's the regret of false freedom. And then the point everybody's been looking for, the last one is the return to true freedom. Got Matt Hog pen in a time of famine, starving, bankrupt, nothing to hand to his kids if he ever has any. Nothing to pass on to the next generation. Got sick of his decision,
realize the devil lied to him that there are no false freedom out there worth having. The true freedom is to stay at the house around the core values of our forefathers that established this country to be a Christian nation. That's where our true freedom's at. And we need to return. We need to return. Just like the prodigal, he returned. He went. He realized, the Bible said, he came to himself and he went back to the house. You know what? He got to thinking how good it was back there. You ought to read some of the books that talks about the years gone by, the many years gone by, and the Christian influence and the power of God that used to go through this land and hover in this land. I mean, we're far from it now. You say, preacher, what's it gonna take? Well, revival. I'm talking about a real move of God, a real awakening. I don't see. Listen, and I'm not a prophet of doom. Are you listening? But I don't see no legislator gonna straighten it out. She's bent, Sister Betty. Now she's bent. America's bent in the wrong direction. So that no government is going to straighten her out. And I believe I know where it's headed. I believe she's headed to get worse and worse and worse, to where the only answer is for a one world leader to step up and say, I can fix it. The Antichrist, step on the scene and have the solution and have the answer and hook all the nations together. And have one world peace, one world government, one world religion. It's coming. It's in the Word of God. It's coming. But we need a return. You say, preacher, how did we get in this mess? And I'm coming to a close. Miss Paul said, if you'll come. Here's how we got in this mess. Here's how we got in this mess, looking for false freedom. You know how we got in this mess? One person at a time. One person at a time. One family at a time. Started rebelling, going away from the true core values that made this country great. And then they raised kids that believe like they believe, or worse. And then they raised kids that was like that, and on down the line till we've got now the country we've got that's pretty much almost a godless country. Headed that way quickly. What a fix it. One person at a time, one family at a time. Amen. Parents raising their children for Jesus. This is a whole other thought right here, but it bothers me. I've talked to preachers all over about this right here. This bothers me. I could name godly men. I mean godly families, brother, that raised their children for Jesus. Listen to me. Now, I mean, there's some exceptions to what I'm about to say, but I can give you names of preachers that raised their family right and their children, have no desire for God. Don't even go to church. Throwed all their convictions out the door that one time lived for God. That troubles me. That troubles me. We're missing something. We're missing something. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, I mean, I don't have but one boy. But he's 400 miles from where I am on my standards and what I believe. And I've tried my best to raise him right. Are you listening? I mean, I could name preacher after preacher, my friend, that's... And not just preachers, but godly families. You say, what is that? I tell you, I know what it is. One, it's not the will of God. It is not the will of God. God said, train up a child the way he should go when he's old, not depart from it. It is not the will of God for you young people when you get 18, 19, and 20 years old, throw God to the wind and do your own thing. You've been given a lot of light. You've been exposed to a lot of light through parental teaching and through pastoral teaching, exposure to the gospel, to the Bible. Listen, you've been exposed to a lot of light. You can't turn away from that without God dealing with you.
You can't do that. I tell you what I believe it is. It ain't God's will, but I tell you what I believe it is. I believe it's the influence of this world coming to our kids through music, and I'm back on that again, through movies and all the other attachments they have to our kids that's pumping rebellion in them, that's pumping the desire, my friend, to be popular instead of pure, and they're going for it as soon as they get a break from the house to do so. Amen. But we need to return. We need to return. We need to return. I can't help what others do. I can't help what other countries do. But I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to purpose that preacher, me as an individual, we're going to try to stay true to the principles that made this country great. What costed our forefathers a lot to hand to us, I'm not going to go to a far country and waste it. Preaching, let me give you this. I'm honestly trying to hush. But I'm going to tell you, I've been preaching 28 years, and there's more of a pressure on me today than's ever been in my ministry to compromise. There's more of a pressure on me today than has ever been in my life to lighten up on things and don't preach negative and don't deal with this and that. Where's that pressure coming from? That's what a lot of people are wanting. They're wanting a church that, my friend, will let them be worldly and conformed to the world and nothing's ever said. Listen, I'm not a great preacher. But I'm going to tell you this. If I preached with the same message and tone of voice and attitude that a lot of them televangelists preach, there would be hundreds of people in Rogersville Baptist Temple. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Now, I'm not glorifying us being small makes us spiritual. But I am making a statement that I will not compromise to build this church or any church. Compromise is not the answer. It never has. Listen, compromise is not the answer to the house, and certainly it won't be, my friend, the answer to the White House. It's not the answer to God's house. Compromise has always been the suggestion of the devil to not go all the way with God. But we need to return back to true freedom. Boy, I'd love to preach that at Washington. I'd love for them to give me an opportunity to preach that at Washington, but that'll never happen, probably. But I want to preach it to you, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, I've tried my best to be obedient, Lord, what You want me to preach this morning. God, our country is sick. Our country, Lord, is straying. Our country, Lord, is taking, dear God, the principles that have made, Lord, our forefathers and our founding of our country great. And Lord, this generation and many generations, Lord, since then and now and the generations to come are going to take those freedoms handed to them. And they're going to go to the far country and waste it. Throw it to the wind with wicked living and ungodly legislation and redefining of laws, rewriting history. God help us. God help us in our church to know, Lord, that the only hope and the only help for our country, Lord, is the voice that would come from Christians. Our freedoms are not being taken, but rather we're just giving them up with silence and apathy and inactivity. Father, deal with us and stir us up, Lord. We can't complain, dear God, about the country. We can't complain about the country, Lord, when our own homes are not where it needs to be. We can't complain, Lord, and we can't really get serious, God, about the condition our churches are in when we as an individual, in many ways, are in the far country. Take the message, Lord, that You spoke to my heart about late last night, in fact, and worked in my heart, give good liberty to preach.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.